Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Shirley Shepherd.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Do not laugh. My first show I did at 9 o'clock, it didn't go so well. I sound like an alien that was trying to eat my own tail. So I put that on private. Because I've extended the amount of minutes I can do on the show, I decided, you know what, let's just do a quick follow-up to let you guys know that I am still here, the aliens have not taken over me, and that first broadcast this morning was embarrassing. However, I'm here. I will resend the link if anyone wants to hear this, but this is the show I want everyone to hear. Super Bowl Sunday. That's all I got to say, Super Bowl Sunday, for all those who love Super Bowl. It's funny. My first show, I asked my friends to listen, and they're like, no one woke up, right? So now they're like, oh, I'll listen later. I'm like, no, it's already done. I'm good. No worries on that, right? Oh, so anyway, no worries. Oh, the show was not good. Hold on, you guys. Was not good. Redoing show now. Okay, so so doing that first show for 39 minutes and everything was off got me a little discombobulated, but today's show is about, you know, fuck stress, unleash your inner badass against overwhelm, right? And so my whole thing was, wait a minute, that doesn't happen. I have more hours for this. I have 500 minutes for this day. I can easily do another show, and I can easily do pretty much was best for me, because there's certain things I wanted to get out and wanted to be heard because it was Super Bowl Sunday, not because of my ego and I sounded like an alien eating my own tail. And I wanted just to say a couple of things about the Super Bowl and my experience with some of the people that will be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, which I think is a great story. And it's not for egotism whatsoever. It's just about thinking back and what you've done with your life that ultimately allows you to give a fuck about what you do every day, how you feel, why you feel that way, where it comes from, when do you take some to a necessary level, what has to take you away from your peace, why is that happening more than not? Well, again, this whole show came about because of looking for my Give a Fuck podcast. It was due to the fact that I was talking to my mother and my brother on a Friday, and they were killing me as to why are you a Republican, and I didn't really have answers. I just no longer wanted to be a Democrat, and they kept just going because my family can do that. I look under the table and they're like, what are you doing? I said, looking for my Give a Fuck. And also, looking for your Give a Fuck is about, all in my opinion, it's about standing up for what you feel at some level, but you have to feel what you feel. You know what I mean? Most of us just don't give a fuck. And that means we don't even take the liberty to figure out, why does that bother me? How is this conducive to a well-being of my life? We don't do any of that. We just simply, I don't give a fuck. No, I'm looking for that fuck. Why am I quick to say what I don't give a fuck about, but yet I have a hard time saying what I do give a fuck about? Have you ever noticed when they say, what do you like doing? What's your favorite this and that? We go, but we're quick to say what we don't like. I don't like this. I don't like that. What do you like? Well, as long as it's not this, as long as it's not that, right? So again, looking for my give a fuck is really about just the experiences that I've gone through throughout the week, and talk about it. The show is now going to be extended to an hour, if not longer. So I'm going to bring people in and have some amazing conversations with people and their give a fuck in different topics. Although I put a topic or a way I want to move for the show in the information, sometimes you can just ignore that because this is going to go where it's going to go. But I always want people to, when they look into the show, they look at the subject line and think about it, you know, fuck stress, underline, I'm under, you know, unleashing my inner badass against overwhelm. Just reading that is enough for a person to say, you know what, I'm not going to let the world get to me. I'm going to work on just not getting overwhelmed. Okay, the second part of the information is about how the show was created and what the show is about. Okay, again, I'm reiterating, this is my second show because the first one was so horrible. Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not really a Super Bowl Sunday fan. I think I talked about it on my show last week. And, you know, I usually just go to a Super Bowl party and I pick a team that's the underdog and I root for that team and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I just, for whoever, I get to just talk shit. I'm not financially, emotionally, you know, involved whatsoever. I just end up having a really good day and eat a lot of unnecessary foods, right? I'm not doing that today because I have lots of work to do. In fact, right before the show, 2 minutes before the show, I was filing my tax, my business taxes. I mean, that's how crazy my day is going to be. But I was also listening to something. I don't know if you guys get Vice, V-I-C-E, with the cable channel. But I just happened to be listening to it in the background earlier today, and they were talking about the black quarterbacks. And again, I'm not listening completely until I keep hearing these. They were bringing out different quarterbacks. McNabb was one because that's the one I'm going to focus on later on. And they were telling their stories, and these stories weren't really nice stories. The stories of quarterbacks having to work harder, this and that, being judged differently, being labeled differently, demands were different. And it seemed like the same cycle was going for every black quarterback, starting from, what, the 70s, the first one, Moon. I don't know if I got that right. I'm all wrong there when it comes to that. But what I'm trying to say is that they all had the same story. We had to do this. We had to do that. We had to do this. We had to do that. We had to be better than we had. You know, one, before I literally had to begin my show, he just said, I got out of it. I don't know what the name of that quarterback was. He goes, I just had enough of it. I was tired of it, you know. And then I took a minute and go, oh, my God, everyone's in Vegas. Everyone I know is all about the Super Bowl. We do have a half, you know, a black quarterback. I think the Chiefs, whatever, he's half black, and that I guess that works. But I stopped to think, why do we partake in such games that we are so belittled? This bothers me. Like one quarterback was saying, like a white quarterback, they'll say talented, this or that, where a black quarterback, they would use, you know, different terminology, which is more of a negative to describe them and their ability if they won, if they lost, or whatever the case may be. But again, we're all going to Vegas. We're all watching, you know, it couldn't be any whiter this year with Taylor Swift, right? This, whatever. We're all watching it. We're all watching who's ever on that field. But the part of that black quarterback and the history of black quarterbacks, even if you're half white, it's really troublesome. Why do they put us in positions that even though we are better, we still have to work hard? And then because it's entertainment, because it's business, they will cut you, you know, when you get older. I mean, that, now that's just the, you know, that's just how things evolve. We get young, do this and that, and you get older, they put you away. Anyway, I'm gonna stay on that topic for a minute because I happened to meet a quarterback, but I didn't know who he was, and I had a funny conversation. I will begin this way. A friend of mine asked me a few years ago, actually, if I wanted to go with him to an agency party. He had to go. He didn't have anyone to go with at that time. And I'm like, dude, no, because I know how to act in public. I said, no, no, no. And ultimately, I ended up going. I don't remember the name of the agent, but this guy represented a lot of athletes, a lot of actors that were black and, you know, probably other color walk in there. I mean, you see everyone, you know, just there's a lot of people. Because I'm really, truly not a groupie or anything like that, I just kind of sizzled my way to the back just to watch, you know, I see what's going on, and it's hilarious. So anyway, I happen to be standing, this guy comes, he stands next to me only because it's so crowded. And I'm like, oh, hello. And he's like, hello. And no one was trying to hit on each other, nothing like that. I don't even like football players. But he said, what is your name? And I said, oh, I'm Shirley, da-da-da. And I said, what is your name? And he, blah, 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 McNabb. And I was like, McNabb, that's, that name sounds so familiar. I'm like, what do you do for a living? I'm a quarterback. There you go. And so we continue talking and talking. You know me, I'm going to ask questions most people don't ask. So I said, wait a minute, I remember now. It was that Super Bowl where somehow you lost. I bet you went in the car and cried. That's what I said. My first show, I thought I said something different. I said, you ran in the car, you cried. He laughed so hard. He said, that was pretty tough. And we had an opportunity where I would say things in you know, like that industry or having my opinion or what I thought at the time about the NFL, right? And he would never respond negatively at all. He wouldn't even, he would just, you know, like nod his head as if to say, I wish I could say what I really wanted to say, but I don't know you from Adam and I'm not going to do that, but you're on the right track, you know? So ultimately we just started laughing and just having, you know, fun. There's one question I did ask. I'm like, who controls those moves? You know, he said, the headsets. They're ever talking in that headset, which your coaches or whatever the case may be, they truly control the what are those things called? The plays. I was like, oh. So anyway, again, because it's one of those parties, I did mention this earlier, the Thirsties came, these beautiful women who are just beyond just extremely beautiful. Two on the side left, two on the side right, one in front of him, and they completely took him away from my conversation, which was fine. And he said, okay, Shirley, bye. It was nice talking to you. So at least it was acknowledgement. And you know, I believe people are there to do that. I hate to say that. They don't know who I am. And he might be spilling the tea. And this is an agency party. So those agents have to keep those people somewhat in directive. Like, what's going on? I'm sure that was it. Because those girls came and pulled him away in a real nice way. A real nice, hey, come over here. We're sexy way, but get away from her or whoever. So that was it for me. I remember speaking with him. And after that, the Super Bowls thereafter, I was just like, wow. You know, because I think he did make mention it's very different to being a black quarterback. However, this morning, listening to Vice is extremely different. But why do we do that? So now that I'm watching the Super Bowl, which I'm really not going to watch, but my thought process is, why do I give a fuck when they don't care about us? But then again, these quarterbacks are making millions, and millions aren't important to people until you get older and character and wisdom and faith. Favor in the world becomes more important than a dollar, here nor there. I still think black quarterbacks should revisit how they're treated. Well, moving right along, because it's a Super Bowl Sunday, I had to get this out. I have another quick story. Again, my first show, I think it's still public. I might be to make it private, so I just want to make sure my stories are consistent. I happened to be, years ago, working with a young lady who is a makeup artist at the time for black women, which was unheard of. And she also was working for an industry that was providing black artists with the first agency that had black models for black performers, you know, performers. And I just happened to be good friends with the makeup artist. So I would hang out with her a lot, and she'd have to go to the office. I'd, you know, hang out, whatever. I'm old. I'm almost like 10 years older than all those people. Seriously. But a couple times the owner, and I can't say her name, would come out and say, Shirley, you know what? I know what happened. A photographer one time was, we were all together and he was shooting, and the makeup artist was, they were finished. They wrapped up pretty fast. So the photographer said, Hey, Shirley, you know what? You want to do a couple of headshots? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, we're going to do. I said, no. And he's like, really, I have this film and I got to do something with it. So Ty's like, come on, you can do it. And so I did a couple of headshots and they turned out to be really good because I was really not trying to be there. As a result, the agent lady got a hold of them. And so she would send out pictures when people would call in for, you know, at that time we were, you were just beautiful models. You know what I mean? You were just beautiful atmosphere, or if you got a talking line, whatever. So this particular time she sent it out. I didn't know anything about it, but I was told, oh, you know what? So-and-so wants to meet with you to be in this video. Okay. So I brought my friend along and I auditioned for it. A lot of people did. But the conversation with the director was more of, what do you do? How you doing? You know, he was more of getting to know me as a person. It was a great conversation. And that was pretty good. He's like, you know, do you do this a lot? I'm like, no, I'm only here because I had to come. So we laughed, so on and so forth. Anyway, I was, I was ultimately picked to be one of the girls in the video. Now, why is this important? And I'm not bragging about myself. Again, I was much older than this young man, but I was in his video because I was the special agent trying to make sure he got to where he was going safely, which that's okay if I could be older, right? Anyways, at the time, his name was Usher Raymond. Yes, indeed, Usher Raymond. I'm the Mac from Poetic Justice. And it was cool. the little kid was just dancing, just killing it. I was older, so I just was kind of like kicking back and drinking coffee until it was my time to do whatever I was going to do. Ultimately, I was driving the Porsche. What they do is, like, this one group of mean ladies are off to get him, and we're the agents that safely get him away from the mean lady. So my job is, you're in a Porsche. I'm in a Porsche. I pull up, and I get him because the girls just got him out of harm's way. He jumps into the Porsche, and I'm, you know, when he gets in the Porsche, he's singing, and, you know, and I'm supposed to be bopping my head and trying to do that and be a special agent. Well, this is the funny part of it. As they put the car on a trailer, okay, and they film around you, and they drive the trailer around. It was Hollywood. And they said, okay, the music's on, bop your head. Well, I was not bopping my head too well. I don't know what I was doing. It was so embarrassing. And Mr. Usher laughed so loud. I mean, they were crying. I'm like, okay. The cameraman literally had to wipe the tears before he can continue filming, because the shit was so funny. And then I, you know, they were all like, you can do it just this way. And then that way was so funny, because bopping your head, I was going left to right. So can you imagine, guys, left to right? It was so embarrassing. So finally I got it. It's not that great, but if you see that piece, you will know why. It was just very funny. So after we're sitting, either preparing to shoot the shot, the footage, or we had just parked, I said to him, how old are you? And he told me how old he was. And I said, oh my God, you know, you better be good. Stay away from all those women and da-da-da, you know, give him the whole speech, because, you know, I was a mother at the time. And he starts laughing. He goes, you sound like my mom. I listen to my mom. And it was really nice to be in the presence of a young man, and then to see where he is now. He's much, much more beyond the Super Bowl. But it just hit me. I'm like, you know what? Remember looking for your give a fucks. I've kept that story to myself. But you know what? Wait a minute. That was a cool story. Because I was in the space with someone that was just beginning to step into his greatness. And he did tell me, by the way, he was going to be great. I said, I ain't doubting you. You the man. It was so funny. And I think most of the girls in the video were older than him. So I don't really think he was running around trying to get them young. He was 16. He was very young, I think. 16, maybe. Yeah. And I think back, because I'm always searching for, looking for my give a fuck. I bet if Mr. Usher went back to that first video, because you always got, you know, when you have everything, when you do everything, you know, you look back and you look in that little stuff, you may or may not. But I bet if he's reminded about the first video, that woman was bobbing her head, I think he would get a laugh. He'd get a kick out of that. And then it would take him, and he would have that moment, if you think about just the totality of that, the innocence, the new video, the newness of life, that would instantly spark the happenings of today. We always need a little spark. And so I would be so proud if he would go back to that and remember, because everyone else remembers, even Mr. F. Gary Grass a few years ago. I was like, shut up. Anyway, moving right along. So these stories, when I talk about people that I have met, it's not about, oh my God, I met so-and-so and so forth. I really got to speak to them. I mean, maybe I should do my own YouTube channel where I sit down and talk to people, because I ask really crazy questions, and I'm bold and I'm honest. And I have to admit, in Hollywood, that's not what's happening. Young, old, it doesn't matter. Once you become an entertainer, whatever that may be, you have a contract to act a certain way. And although you could be yourself, at some times, if that being yourself is going to reach an agreement with an agency or with this and that, you know, it's difficult. In fact, I'll say this real quick. One of the Kardashians, people, the one that's the model, they've asked for her autograph, or she wanted to wear a certain shirt, or something happened. And she finally just says, simply, I am so owned by everyone that things I just can't do. You know, like, I think someone wanted to take a picture, but the person had like a Louis or whatever, and that's not her. So she was the first person who said that. It's not me. I am chained. And you have to understand, you are Usher, when you're Kardashian, whatever, people are getting money from you all different ways. So they're watching. I used to work for the DGA. And when any of the writers or producers, whatever, would do something wrong regarding something the directors had handled, we'd be watching. That was before massive internet stuff, you know. So anyway, about that, looking for my give a fuck. When you have done so much, or you become getting older, It's those little things you forget, like I forgot, which are important. In fact, that we all should go back and take a break from ourselves and look into, like, gosh, we're still here. We couldn't have been all that bad. Let's revisit our lives, right? I think that would be totally cool. Okay, the next thing I wanted to add is, because looking for my give a fuck, it's another entertainer, and this was funny because these are their first, and I just happened to be there. I worked at Universal Studios, well, in Universal City. Universal Studios, you go up this big hill, and it's over to the right. If you go up this big hill, it's to the left. And then there's a hotel, it was called the Universal something at the time, and it's to the right. I told you I worked ever since I was like 4. So I was working at the gift shop, could have been no more than maybe just out of high school. I don't remember. I'm working in the gift shop. I meet 2 people who changed my life with their reactions. Number one, Lucille Ball, just being in her presence. She was big, bold, hair, voice deep, funny. Took over the whole place, but not in a way that you would think, oh, this is obnoxious. Just in a way where she just brought us all in. Fucking amazing. In her presence, I just stopped. I was like, never knew. And I didn't even watch I Love Lucy, so I didn't even understand the connection. It was the person. She was the rawest person in the world. She was so fudging cool. All the things I could be saying fucking right, but she was so fudging. I mean, she was just, she'd walk in and be so cool that we would stop, not because da-da, it was because, oh, I want to go hang out with her. She's cool. She'd be like, come on, you know, she seemed like the type, let's go get some, you know, whatever. She was cool. The next time I'm working in this gift shop, and back in the day, gift shops are very boring. We had candy bars and we had magazines, and I ate plenty of candy bars. This young man comes in. He's a black dude. I'm like, oh, okay, hey, you know, young. And he grabs, at the time, I think it's the Rolling Stone magazine or whatever the magazine. I could be Billboard. Someone can correct me. I don't even know. But he opens up and he looks at number one, and it's his music. He's number one. So it must be Billboard. I was wrong. I was saying before Rolling Stone, but it's Billboard. Okay. And this kid just goes fudging crazy through excitement. Oh, look at bam, bam, bam. He was just like so excited. He was by himself. No agents, no mothers, no fathers, no groupies or whatever. Because I kept saying, you're excited, I'm excited, who are you? You know, because it looked kind of weird, him being excited, and I'm just kind of going, oh. And so ultimately, he's like, look, right here, right here. So I look, and I'm like, oh, LL Cool J, my radio. Oh, congratulations. You know, of course, I didn't really know it was. I was listening to Tears for Fears. That was very, very white music. But I do remember that song. And I remember the excitement, the kid, LL Cool J, so fudging excited. He said, I'm going to take all these magazines. I'm like, sure. And can you go in the back and see if there were more? And there, of course, there were more. So I just gave him all the magazines. I don't know if he paid for them or not. That was not my part of the story. The part of the story was watching when he saw that first number one hit in Los Angeles, in a gift shop in Universal City. Just all that alone is a fucking story. They'd be like, man, I thought you said you found out it when you were at your mama's house. No. He found out about it, and he found out about it by himself. I mean, he was by himself, which means all that excitement and all that hard work and all that, he was able to take in it and just experience the totality of it within himself. There wasn't a whole bunch of people around. He had that moment. He has to know that was a very pivotal moment in his life. That was that bubble. I know he's talked a lot about his grandmother. Between that pivotal moment, those pivotal moments are key. And then having the grandmother that he talks about that kept him going forward. I see why LL Cool J keeps standing. That was amazing. I hope one day he remembers that and says, oh my God, how embarrassing. No, he wasn't embarrassed at all. So the moral of the story, what is this? I'm still busy looking for my give a fuck at times because, you know, I lose it or didn't know, whatever, right? But think about your life. How many times are you in the presence of people who are finding their give a fuck? Artists who are in their just that moment of righteousness, because art, you know, being an entertainer, even working, being human, there's ups and downs. But how many times have you been there when that person was just high on the horse and you supported that with no judgment, with nothing? I mean, just with totality of, okay, I'm excited because you're excited. Let's roll, let's roll. And then how many times did you go home and think about, oh my God, I was in the presence of someone truly being into their give a fuck. Wow. Earlier in the show that didn't tape too well, there was a story I use. Like, people are like, I use this example. What do you care about? What do you like? What are your hobbies? What? I don't know my goddamn hobbies. I'm trying to get alive. I'm trying to stay alive. My hobbies are keeping up with the trends and continuing to teach myself what's going on in this world. But it's quick for us to stop when someone says, what are your hobbies? What makes you happy? But it's real easy for us to say what you don't give a fuck about. I ain't give a fuck about that. This, boom, 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 quit. You can say it 3-4 times and put it onto a rap. I don't give a fuck about this, this, about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm being really silly. But honestly, being in the presence of people that are giving a fuck allows your spirit to open and just feel alive. Again, I'm going to go back to the example I wanted to use. And it was Sunday, Soul Food Sunday. Guys, think about it. You smell the food. I can smell it right now. Everybody in the kitchen talking shit. There's wine, there's beer, people, you know, barbecuing, whatever it is that Sunday. So that you could just, that aroma just brings you back to, ooh, family. In fact, I just watched the Grammys, Hip Hop 50, whatever, and Will Smith was doing a song, Summertime. It just automatically put us all back, summertime. So I'm thinking, you know, when I think about looking for your give a fuck, it's just what gives you that coolness, that feel good inside, not to the extreme where it's pain, or not to the extreme where it's lust, or not to the extreme where you're pissed or you're too happy. You're just cool. You're just cool with it, right? Now I sound like I can dance. Ask Usher, I cannot. But so food, so the food is cooking, the noise, people talking shit, then you sit down, the food, oh damn, I can, ooh, mama, I can eat it right now. Chicken and greens, ooh, dun 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 dun, right? And you're still talking shit. Then after, it depends. Our family, we have to sit and let our stomachs sit a little bit. Then we get the dessert, which is bam, bam, which is crazy. So you still talk shit. And then you're looking forward to the next Sunday. You can't write what that feeling is. You can only feel that feeling. I know this is really strange. I want to take a minute. I'm just going to go off topic right now. AI cannot duplicate. True feelings that especially black and brown people still have. A lot of stuff has been taken away from, I would say, African Americans. I can't necessarily talk for brown people, but I'm sure the same thing. But there's something inside of us that we still are able to feel. Because when we get to a point that we no longer have empathy for ourselves, for our family, it is going to be on. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good, because then we would act like other races, people and colors that keep us down because they have no emotions or attachment to a Sunday soul food day, or to watching someone see their number one song hit, or to watch a young kid as the greatest dancer in the world, looking at an old lady laughing but remembering that she said things that this mom said. Or what they can identify with is Super Bowl Sunday, looking at the black quarterback, not in necessarily the winner's circle, but in the what's he going to do? That's cold. We'll never get that cold. Okay, you guys, I hope this show taped well. Until next week, we'll talk more when I can get these mics completely in order. Until next week, have a great Super Bowl Sunday. I'm probably going to be working, but I am going to watch the, what's that thing called? The halftime show. I'm excited about that because I'll be thinking about Usher when he was 14, while you guys will be lusted about the old man that's going to be doing a lot, not the old man, the young man that's going to be doing a lot of whole bunch of shit. I heard it's going to be awesome. but I get to sit back, like, you know, when you get older, you get to sit back and appreciate things, and I get to appreciate that. So watching that show would just make me feel good. It gives me a give a fuck for the Super Bowl. All right, you guys, until next week, take care. Make memories. Continue to make memories. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. Looking for My Give a Fuck. Looking for My Give a Fuck.